Rebbe's one noyeg dafter make siyum on Pirkei Avos on the 9 days.
Yeah.
Because the end of Pirkei Avos has one of the simanim.
Yeah. Only one masechta. Only one masechta.
The end of Avos has the.
It's a very big b'diavad to do that. Okay, Rabbi, so let's discuss some more halachas. I didn't really prepare all that much, so we'll discuss some of these things together. Okay, so I ask you today, if possible, you can be extra diligent in maintaining decorum, because we're fighting with other noises. So it's hard enough to fight. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, please. It's hard enough to fight with the noise from downstairs. So let's try our best to maintain a degree of decorum. All right, now where are we up to here? Give me one moment to turn to the right page. We're up to the laws of the 9 days. We got up to clothing. Okay, meat, wine. Okay. Okay, the Siyum, Rav Shabbos, Toyameha. We discussed buying clothing, the difference between buying clothing and washing clothing. Okay. Here we are. Okay, clothing. So we discussed yesterday, you're not allowed, we discussed yesterday that it is absolutely forbidden to purchase during the 9 days any item of clothing that includes everything, that includes shoes, socks, undergarments. And it goes without saying, a garment upon which you would make a shehechiyan. If you need to make a shehechiyanu, make a hadin, that you cannot even do during the 3 weeks that we know from before. But let's say you have a garment which you do not need to make a shechiyan. When you buy a pair of socks, you do not make a shechiyan. When you buy a pair of shoes, even if you buy a pair of shoes that cost $500, you do not need, what? You do not need to make, you'd be surprised, you do not need to make a shechiyan on those shoes, because the shoes are from leather, so there is no shechiyan. So one may be misled to think that you can buy this during the 9 days. No. Why? Because shoes is a garment. It's a very important concept. Because it's not necessarily forbidden to buy something. During the 9 days, you're allowed to buy whatever you want. You want to buy something, bigger or thin, if it's not giving you pleasure, you can buy it. If you want to go buy a new refrigerator, now, a refrigerator it might give you pleasure because you only buy that, you make a shechiyan, or a tenth hametiv, so that's not a good example. But let's say the air conditioner. So you know, it's air conditioner, you know, technically speaking, you should make a tenth hametiv. When you buy an air conditioner, why not? You buy an air conditioner, it's a nice purchase, it doesn't cost less than $300-$400 to buy a good air conditioner. You gotta pay the bill every month. But an air conditioner is a significant purchase, and l'chor you make a shteva meti. But let's say you would have an example, I don't know what an example would be, of an object which you do not make a shechiyan, you can buy it. You want to go buy something, you know, let's say you buy a cell phone, you want to go buy a new smartphone, you want to upgrade. So there's nothing wrong unless you have a lot of simcha, unless you know it really gives you pleasure. Some people, you know, let's say, you know, just get a new phone. It's a burden. It's just a burden for me to go into the store and to waste a half an hour negotiating with the guy behind the counter to go and you know, the deal, what deal, this deal, this plan, that plan, what kind of phone, how much I'm gonna have to pay out. Yeah. I don't have any pleasure from the phone. The phone is no pleasure. Actually, I only get bad news. I only get the phone calls. It's all spam, all nonsense. So there's no pleasure. So you can buy it. There's no reason why you can't buy it. If it's not giving you pleasure, just a necessity for life, you can buy it. You're not making a shechiyanu. On the other hand, clothing is a whole different category. Something that you use to clothe your body. It goes on your body. Even if in your eyes it's not significant. A pair of socks, not significant. How do you compare socks to a cell phone? Okay, there's no, it's not significant. It only costs a dollar. You can buy. Like if you want, you can buy for $2-$3 and in 99 cents to a pair of socks. That you can't buy, because that's an object of clothing. An object of clothing is including Chazal's prohibition of during the 9 days. Whereas utensils, the only time it is prohibited is if it gives you pleasure, or you would make a shechiyanu. Otherwise, it doesn't give me pleasure, and I'm not making a shechiyanu, and it's just a necessity of life. I can wait until next week. I don't have to go buy it today. I can go there. And I personally have no pleasure in buying this object. It's just a matter of upgrading. That's what I do now. Then you can purchase. It's an important principle to understand clothing. Clothing is in a category by itself. Now, okay. Oh, are you allowed to buy Tisha? That's a very good question. Tisha B'Av Shu should really be bought before the 9 days. came before the 9 days. What? But if you don't have, you have no other choice. It's like anything else. If you don't have a pair of socks, you don't have underwear, then you're allowed to, then, okay, these are obvious, there are exceptions, obviously, then you can buy during the 9 days. But we're dealing over here with such a person, a zelchach mayas and noilad, it's not a hider to wait until Erev Tisha B'Av to go and buy Tisha B'Av shoes. You should buy this before the 9 days. And if you forgot, you should buy it before Shavua Shechalbai. Shavua Shechalbai is much more serious than this week. So if you have not yet purchased your Tisha B'Av shoes, it would be a good idea to buy it before Shabbos, because once you hit Shabbos, Sunday, it's already Shavua Shechalbai, the prohibition is much more severe. Not that you can't do it, you don't have a choice, but if you can do it, you should do before so. Okay, very common question, buying clothing that are on sale. Okay, it's Black Friday in August, or Black Friday in July. You ever see that they have, I saw an advertisement, Black Friday in August, it's only July still. Okay, they're waiting 2 more weeks, Black Friday in August. Now it's Black Friday in, let's talk about Black Friday, Shabbos Chazon, in July. It's a sale. You can get a really great deal on clothing. Are you allowed to buy it? Yes. Why the Dover Ha'aveh? It's something which it's a loss you're not going to be able to get. What?
It's a one-day sale.
If you're going to save a significant amount of money, you're allowed to purchase. You don't make a Shachyanu though. You can't make a Shachyanu. It's also to make a Shachyanu. You make a Shachyanu after Tisha B'Av, right away, because you're really playing around. You're not supposed to make a delay saying a Shachyanu, but you have to wait until after Tisha B'Av to make a Shachyanu. Next thing, what about a talus? Are you allowed to buy a new talus during the 9 days? So the truth is, no. Even though it's a begat shel mitzvah, but it's a begat mehudar, you're not supposed to buy a new talus during the 9 days, but you can buy a talus katan. A talus katan is not considered significant. That can be begat shel mitzvah. A begat shel mitzvah can be purchased during the 9 days. Okay, what about a chasman kal? Very kind, a chasman kal, they're getting married, so they want to buy clothing for after the wedding. And they want to make all their purchases for after they have to combine, they have to do all for the Sheva Brachas and after the wedding, all of these things. So that's a really tough question. That is a very tough question. And the Machlekes Apoiskim, what exactly should be done? If they have no choice, they can. They have no choice, they can. But l'chatchila, they should try not to do so. Are you allowed to give a present for a baby? A baby is born. Okay, a newborn baby or bar mitzvah. Are you allowed to buy presents and give presents during the 9 days for a simcha? So believe it or not, the answer is yes. And it's not, if it's not a significant gift, you buy a newborn baby, you buy a little outfit for $15, $20, $30, okay, so that's not cool. You go buy a designer suit, a little infant baby, you go buy something for $300, you buy a new stroller, right? You go buy these fancy strollers for $500, yeah, you can't give that as a gift during the 9 days. But to go buy a little outfit for $30, that you can do, believe it or not, that's what it says here. I'm not making this up.
No, so if you don't give a gift sometimes, you cause evil.
Yeah. Presents may be given on the occasion of a birth or a bar mitzvah during the 9 days. Chiddush nifla. Achidush nifla. I guess it's because it's not because of simcha, it's because of derech eretz. It's minig derech eretz. When a person has a baby, this is the way we live. You have to show that you're a human being, that I acknowledge that you had us making a simcha. So the way you do that is you give a gift. You're giving a small gift. That's not called you're doing something that is abnormal during the 9 days. And if now is the time, and I guess like today everyone is very in a delayed mode. People give baby gifts when the baby is already 5 years old. Bar mitzvah. So today, I don't know, it doesn't really seem so proud. I don't know, I'm not in the loop of giving baby gifts. But to me, it seems that people don't give baby gifts bo bayom, when the baby is born. But it seems that years ago they did. Years ago, they needed it. It could be when the baby is born, you know, the parents, they basically needed the stretches. They need the stretches. They need the toys. They need it right away. It's something that's important for the health, for the well being of the child. And it's a gift. So it's not really a. Can you do it? You can't. Bar mitzvah though is the same thing. He says you can give it, but if it's expensive, you should not give it. Okay. Anything else? Anything else? Like as far as buying new furniture, as far as buying appliances, air conditioner. All of these things, if you need it, you need it. You need an air conditioner, You got no choice. You got to buy an air conditioner. So you can do. Don't make a shechianu. Wait until after the 9 days after Tisha B'Av to make the shechianu chatzoyis after chatzoyis on the 10th day to make the shechianu the oda hatoyva hametiv. If you don't need it, you can do without it, and it's a significant purchase and it gives you pleasure. Then you should wait until after the 9 days. Okay, we did the items on sale that we already did. Okay, next. Can you buy? What about tefillin? Anything that's for a mitzvah? A mitzvah, you can do. Eyeglasses. I believe that what he writes over here, I believe this halach of eyeglasses among the young people today has changed. It used to be when I grew up, you buy a pair of eyeglasses, let's say once in 3, 4, 5 years, unless your prescription changes drastically. It's not something you buy every other day. Today, I don't know if you realize this. You probably don't realize this among the young people today, among the teenagers and the 20-year-olds, a pair of glasses is like a tie. You don't realize this, like a tie. Okay? I wear the same tie probably almost every day. I don't know what I'm doing. But people who pay attention to their clothing, we should, right? You have an obligation to present yourself very well. You don't wear the tie every day. You ever see the President of the United States wear the same tie 2 days in a row? Never. I don't even know if they ever wear it. They only wear it once in a lifetime. Okay, they get free ties. Every designer sends them ties. Every designer sends them a tie with an electronic listening device embedded into the fabric. No, don't you know that? So every single day. You wear a different tie. You have to give the audience something to think about in case they don't want to pay attention to the drasha, right? That's what?
Michelle Obama said during the 8 years presidency, she had changed 3,000 dresses.
80,000?
3,000.
3,000.
Tuxedo?
One tuxedo. She had 3,000 dresses, 3,000 outfits, and he had one tuxedo entire 8 years.
She was always criticized for the dress.
Fashion show. Okay, Melania, it's all about, it's just a fashion show. Every time she walks off the helicopter, right? Kate Middleton, same thing, it's a walking fashion show. The women love it. This is America. Why did he win? Why did Trump really win? Come on, let's be realistic. Okay, let us go further. So today among young people in their 20s and younger, I don't know how they have the money, they buy a new pair of glasses like you buy a new tie. Every 3 to 6 months, not more than 6 months, you have to have a new pair of glasses. And the glasses are much cheaper. Today it's not like it used to be. They have really cheap, you buy online. Online you can buy it for $50, $40, $80, you can buy a cheap pair of glasses, prescription glasses, and that's the way you change also. The question is, should you change your pair of glasses, how often? So it could be, that's a nafkamina between, today, it's like if you can buy a tie is not considered to be so significant, you can buy a tie also during the 9 days. I don't know. Okay, think about it, that's something to think about. It used to be that you don't get a new pair of glasses during the 9 days. Today, I would assume that restriction has been relaxed. Because a tie is not something, eyeglasses are viewed to be more disposable. Can I please ask everyone if you can please maintain a degree of decorum? It's hard enough. We have the noise from downstairs. I've asked you already so many times. Please. Okay, let's now go to another issue. Needlepoint. Someone asked me last year. Women, they love to needlepoint. Are you allowed to do needlepoint embroidery during the 9 days? So what are the studs? Echad, you're a tailor. You're making a garment. You're making a tapestry. You're doing something which is a material. On the other hand, you're not wearing it. So the bottom line is, it's not a garment. This is a very important you said. It's not a garment. Just because you're doing the same stitches, you're using the same technique to make this embroidery, this needlepoint that you would use to make a garment that you wear on your body, but I'm not. I'm not going to put this on my body. I'm going to hang this up on the wall. I'm going to frame it and hang it up on the wall. So even though the technique that's being employed is identical to what you would do if you would wear this garment, it's mutar me'ikar hadin. Only time that it's usur, this is an industry, I know about this from someone, is only if you have a very exclusive needlepoint or a very exclusive type of thing that you know they sell these very expensive needlepoints. with this big industry, and it's very expensive, and it's a collector set, and it's of course a lot of money, and it's a lot of time and skill to do. So that is not an activity that a person should engage in during the 9 days. But if it's just something that a woman or a man does because they need time to relax or to think, it's to settle their mind, it is permitted during the 9 days. This question is always asked to Rav Moshe about day camps, especially girls' day camps, where one of the activities is needlepoint or this type of embroidery. They have an activity where they go and they sit down with the kids and they give them these canvases, and they give them the threads, and they do the needlepoint. Is it mutter asa? So Rav Moshe says it's mutter. It's mutter. This is not a garment. It's not something you wear. And what they're giving the children to do is very cheap. It's very minimal. It's not an expensive thing at all. It's the past time, so it's mutter. Okay, next halacha.
What about those talus bags?
To make the talus bag. So maybe that would taka would be asr. Because that, he says, if it was something that's very choshev, it's very chosh, very significant, that halacha would be asr. Those talus bags, your girlfriend to make for his boyfriend, the yarmulke, right?
But it's not
so much of a thing. If it's something that's very significant, so what about a girl making it for a boyfriend, a kippah asruga? Okay, when I grew up, I knew a lot of guys that had yarmulkes that who made it for them. If you did not have a kippah asruga that was done by your girlfriend, you're nobody. You're nobody. What? Different. It's a different derech. It's a different derech in Avodas Hashem. A different derech.
Different derech.
Different derech in Avodas Hashem. So is a girl allowed to do this? If Simcha Budim Kohn did not discuss this question in the Sefer, I guarantee you that. I would assume, Rabbi Sai, you won't hear my Chiddush? You won't hear my Chiddush? At first glance, listen, you're going to like this. You can go home, you'll tell this to your wife. You know, like, at first glance, I would say it's awesome. Because Rav Moshe says anything that is choshuv, it's choshuv, it's significant, embroidery, you're not allowed to do during the 9 days. But mitzat sheni, I would paskin for sure that it's mutter. Because, listen, you're allowed to get engaged even on Tisha B'Av.
Yes.
Shema yikadnena acher, barachamim. If you don't make for your boyfriend that yarmulke soon, another girl might make it for him. Shema yikadnena acher.
Yes.
So, Manela, it's no worse than getting engaged on Tisha B'Av. So, sakana. This is not much sakana. Manela, it's mutter. You heard it here first, Rabbi Sai. You heard it here first. Okay?
It's only for the second wife.
The second wife.
That's what it says. That's the end of the story.
Okay, your mayor really liked that one. That one. That's a good chiddush. That was a good chiddush for today. Okay, next topic.
So according to Rav Shach, you should go ahead and buy fine clothes for your wife.
Oh, first of all, what about going? You should know, one of the big exceptions, he says over and over, and you know he does quotes no sources. He just says Kainira, Kainira, writes in the footnote. Kainira, 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 and I'm shocked. What he's saying is he writes dating. A boy goes out on a date with a girl. Can the boy wear freshly laundered clothing? Can the girl go to a store and buy a new dress? You know, the shirk is getting very serious. And it's now during the 9 days, and they go
freshly,
out. What?
Or freshly clean.
Freshly clean. Or even let's say you want to go, you know, you don't have what to wear. You already wore all the outfits. So what are you going to wear on the next date? Up to date number 8. The Yisa Ach Samea, you're up to date number 8. What are you going to wear? You know, you already wore all of your outfits. You have to go to the store to get a new outfit. Are you allowed to do this? Okay, I'm not going to every single detail in the halacha, but he's shockingly, probably has a lot of daughters, he probably knows. He's shockingly is very lenient. All of the restrictions, somehow, they all fall away. They all fall away, even though things that a mamish also to do. When it comes to shaduchim, it's a whole league. It's mamish, it's more important than cholim, people who are ill, and you name it. He's very lenient. And what's the source? You know, in yeshiva olam, they always have this knack. They always have this knack of saying, who says so? Who's the one who says this? What's the makar? Show me the source. He has no source. He always writes, Kainira. So it seems to be correct. Very interesting. Okay,
you
next.
You have to see it firsthand. You should know his life. He's been forbidden calling. He's the youngest of seven children. The first six are all sisters.
Oh, so you see, he grew up. He grew up with a different... there's no question about it. You grew up in a different frame of mind. When you have six older sisters, you're in a different frame of mind. I remember someone said he has seven daughters, Kenai Nahara. So the other one under his breath said, "Don't worry, no one's giving you an Ayin Hara."
That's it.
No, so his shiur
would depend on
no one's
how old the
girls
are, how old the guy is.
What?
It would depend how old the girl is, how old the guy is.
The rule of thumb is
all bets are off.
All bets are off. When it comes to Shidduchim, all bets are off, everything goes. Basically, everything goes. All restrictions, all the halachas out the window. Out the window. That's basically what he says. It's a dover. There's no greater dover ha'oved than Shidduchim. There's no greater dover ha'oved. Everyone here is interpreting this. Lefi. Everyone is interpreting this Lefi Yonai. Okay, let's go further. Rabbi Yisrael, please, let's go further. Okay, what about laundering? It's not a nice word, laundering. That word should be deleted from the vocabulary. Okay, cleaning clothing. Cleaning clothing during the 9 days. It is awesome. You're not allowed to put it. Now, what about doing it, putting it in the washing machine for after the 9 days? Of course it's awesome. You're not allowed to do so. What about sending it to a dry cleaners and you'll pick it up after the 9 days? Of course, it's usur. You're not allowed to give in your clothing or clean the clothing during the 9 days, even though you have no intent to wear the clothing for the during the 9 days. Even cleaning your clothing for Shabbos is usur. I'm not going to wear it. I'm wearing it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I'm allowed to wear freshly laundered clothing. That's right. You can wear freshly laundered clothing that was prepared before the 9 days, but you're not allowed to clean the clothing to have them ready for Shabbos.
Could you give it in the 9 days and it'll clean?
Can you give it during the 9 days? No. Then tell them to first clean it after the 9 days. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Can you put it in the washing machine, just the storage? Of course. Yeah. Of course.
The
yes.
Dry cleaners on East 15th or 14th, Marshall. LJ, is closed for the 9 days. And the reason it's closed is because there's no business.
No business. No business. There's no business. Very good. So that's a sign of a Jewish neighborhood. Okay, now by the way, this is important. People don't know this. This doesn't just include your clothing. Rabbi Sai, and this is important halacha. Part of in halacha, what is called the clothing, this is a very chiddush. Clothing is not just what you wear on your body. Clothing includes the objects you use to sleep, that you use for sleeping, which means linen, a bed quilt. These things may not, even though you're not wearing it on your body. I'm not wearing it, it's not my clothing, but you're lying down on it. It may not be clean during the 9 days. Same halacha that apply to clothing, apply to linen, and anything that you use, and also even towels. You need a towel just to wash your hands, just to wipe your hands. You come out of the Beis Akisei. You're not allowed. I'm not wearing it. I'm using it to wash my hands. No, you're not allowed to wash towels or dishcloths or anything like this during the 9 days. So what should you do? You should prepare in advance. Let's say you didn't prepare in advance and you're stuck. You got a problem. If you're really, really desperate, then you can be bakel. Then you have no choice. If you really, anytime you're really, really desperate, it becomes a matter of health. It becomes a matter of just living. I'm not going to wash my hands. I'm going to get sick. This bacteria. No, you should buy tissues. So go buy some paper towels. Go spend a few dollars and buy some paper towels. If you can't do that, whatever the situation is, then in the chanam, if you're very desperate, you can go and you can wash up. And also, you should be careful to do it before Shavua Shechalboi. Shavua Shechalboi is also Mikar Hadin, much more so. Whereas before Shavua Shechalboi, the restrictions are relaxed. But of course, these things should be done in advance. Now, here's something interesting. Hotels. Let's say you are going on a little vacation during the 9 days, nothing wrong with that, and you're going to a hotel. And in the hotel, you're going to Colorado, you're going to California, you're going to Florida, to a hotel for the 9 days, and the meaning of the hotel, Gush Hotel. You go to the Plaza, you go to a Marriott, whatever you go, I don't know, whatever hotel you go to. And they change the linen every single day for you. Okay, it's a Gush Hotel. You wake up in the morning, they come and they change the linen every single day. Usur. You have to tell them. You have to tell them the guy is doing it for a Jew. Even though a guy is doing it, and the guy is doing it because of their own needs. You're not allowed to do that. And if you'll tell them at the front desk, make it very clear, put the card on the door, don't come into my room, they will not change your linen. Tell them at the front desk, I do not want my linen to be changed during the 9 days, or at least your door, lock the door, do whatever you need to do in the hotel to prevent the help from changing your linen during the 9 days. That is the halacha. Yeah.
But if you would end up in a place which the first time they saw a Jew.
Same, so tell them.
What are you doing?
What
do you
say?
Why every time a Jew comes, they
won't change the Jew either.
It doesn't matter. First of all, there are many people, there are many non-Jews who do not want, who stay in a hotel for 2-3 days and do not allow the help to come in and change their linen. They don't want, I'm here, I'm putting out my stuff, I have private things. I don't trust you. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't want you coming around, snooping around. I don't care. I'll use the same linen for 3 days. What's the big deal? Goyim do this. So Allah has kind of a kind of, if you're a Shomer Shabbos and you're going out of town to a Goyish environment, you're going to California on business. You're going on business in California. I know our friend, he goes every week to California. He spends the whole week in California. He goes to hotels, he goes to events, conferences, he goes to different hotels. What?
On a convention.
A convention. So you tell them, don't change my linen, or just keep the door locked. They can't come in. That is on point halacha. Now let's say you own the hotel. Trump. Okay? I'm sure Ivanka Trump has some holdings in the hotel, right? She must have some hotels that she has a part ownership in. So she should make an announcement to all of her guests. Sorry, it's the 9 days. Ooh, we don't do laundry here during the 9 days. What? I'm just joking. So you'd be shocked to believe it, that no, even if, on my side, if you are even a guest, in a hotel, if a guest, listen to this chiddush, the Rebbe chiddush, if a guest is arriving, a guest arriving, someone's coming here for an event, they're coming here, whatever, and they're staying by you for during the 9 days, and you don't have fresh linen. I don't have fresh linen for my guests. You're allowed to make fresh, what it says. He writes here, you're allowed to make, to prepare fresh linen for a guest who comes suddenly to you. You can't give him your dirty linen. You can use your own dirty linen. You can use it, that's why you can't do it for yourself, because you can sleep on your own dirty linen. But you can't do that for a guest. So you should prepare in advance.
Oh, that's the idea.
But if you can't prepare in advance, you're allowed. You don't have to tell them, don't come. Sorry, buddy, I don't have fresh linen for you, so go somewhere else. No. You want to come, come. Don't tell them. And go and do a wash. Do a wash. Prepare for your guest who's a Shomer Shabbos or a Charedi. Prepare the fresh linen on the 9 days. If you did not know in advance that he's coming, what?
Can you tell them bring your own linen?
No. It's not nice, no. You can't, no, you don't do that. You don't tell them. Okay, Davar Pashut, that if you have a garment, an expensive garment that has a stain, and the clock is ticking. I'm not sure how this works. And if every moment that you don't clean the stain professionally, it's going to get worse. Sets in. You're allowed to send to the cleaners immediately. If he gets you very nervous, suddenly get a stain. They get very, very, very expensive garment. A woman has a very expensive dress, and she can't have no yishuv hadas. That is this terrible stain. And you got it, and she doesn't want to wait until after Tishrei, because maybe after Tishrei it'll settle in. I don't know if it's true. It's not true. It's psychological. It's not psychological. It's serious. So she can give it to the dry cleaners immediately, because this is a very big davar ha'ovet. Okay, next. Interesting, polishing shoes. Are you allowed to polish shoes? Now, I don't understand this difference. I don't, for life me, he's mechalik between polishing shoes and shining shoes. I never heard there's a difference between the two.
Shining is with a rag.
I thought about this. I don't understand.
Maybe it's the difference between doing it yourself and
no.
Don't ask me. I don't understand.
Polishing
is mutter. Shining is awesome. What exactly is the difference? Beats me. Think about it. Yeah.
Rabbi Shel said that one is cleaning it and one is giving it a shine.
Okay, so but pretty much it's all the same by us, by most of us. They go together. Whether you're using the liquid polish or using the cream, they go together. The way you polish it is by
the same, using the liquid or using the wax.
All right, whatever. Basically, you're allowed to look presentable. The first thing a woman looks at are the shoes. When a woman looks at a man, they don't look at his hat, his head.
The second thing she looks at is his wallet.
first thing are the shoes. I read it for the Beferisher. It's the Beferisher Jewish Press. I read it Friday night in the Jewish Press. The first thing a woman looks at are the shoes.
I worked with some Avramis.
Yes.
And we were friends in the dormer. And we were walking in, and he wouldn't react. And once suddenly somebody would come in the store, he would react and call the salesman. And we were asking him,
how do you know?
How do you know?
The shoes.
The shoes and the watch.
Ah, the shoes and the watch. Excellent. Okay, that's right. It's very true. Women, it's very true. They're very well trained. Go into a store, in a department store, they sell expensive items. Who are the salespeople? They know what to look for. There are other techniques. There are a lot of interesting techniques. They look at the accessories. They look at sure. They don't look necessarily at the clothing. The clothing, even multimillionaires wear shmatas. But the accessories, a multimillionaire will wear a very expensive watch, will have a very expensive cell phone, will have, for the clothing, yeah. Multi-millionaires, the richer you are, the bigger schlump, the more of a schlump the way you dress.
It's called vintage clothing.
But everything else, you're right, they're specially trained. Very good, okay. What about, interesting, Rabbi Isai, what about wearing Shabbos clothing?
During the weekday.
In other words, today I feel like...
The high milliners are wearing not white shirts during the 9 days.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. You know, Meir's father, Rabbi Isai, was one of the biggest Chaim Berliners that there ever was. He died in Chaim Berliner. Rav Chudna was mechabed him. He gave him Levi right before Ne'ilah, Yom Kippur Mincha. Was an ish mechubad me'od of Meir's father. Rav Meir's father was a very well-respected person, and he was very, he davened, he lived out from Chaim Berlin, he davened there often, and he was respected. Rabbi, next thing, are you allowed to wear Shabbos clothing during the weekday? So it's not freshly laundered. I wore it last Shabbos. I'm not buying it. I'm just today. I feel good today. I want to look good today. I'm not going on a date. I'm nothing special. No, not going to a bris. I'm not going to a simcha. I just want to wear my Shabbos clothing today. Just for fun. Are you allowed to do so? No. It's usser. It's usser to wear Shabbos clothing during the 9 days, even though they're not freshly laundered. It's just not the right thing to do during the 9 days.
Which clothing are you referring to? A hemid, an echo, a
suit? Whatever you wear for Shabbos, that depends upon the person. If a person has a special garments that he wears only on Shabbos, everyone can relate to this. I'm not telling any chidushim. Okay, it's you have special clothing that you only wear on Shabbos, and now you want to wear it during the week, so it says here that it's the wrong thing. You're not allowed to do that. Forbidden. Next, are you allowed to do housekeeping? Are you allowed to clean your house? 9 days, you have some vacation. I want to go, I want to fix up the house. House cleaning. I want to bring in the maid and really, you know, spring cleaning in July. So the answer pretty much is no. It's not the right. It's what it says here. You can do light cleaning, but to go and do a total sweep of the house to redo the house to bring it to a high level. That's not the right thing to do.
Someone has a cleaning lady. She came home.
You, if you have every week a cleaning lady, yes, yes. Basic maintenance that you do every single week, yes. But we learned many times, if you never have a cleaning lady, and for the very first time in my life, I'm going to bring a cleaning lady into the house. It's not the time to do it during the 9 days. Unless you have a sakana, the house is a sakana. You need something in the house. But the 9 days is not a time to make innovations. It's a time of maintenance. You can do whatever you do the whole year, continue doing. Okay, next is in Shaila. Are you allowed to polish silver? You want to polish your leichter for Shabbos during the 9 days, Erev Shabbos. Should the leichter be polished? So he cites here from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, no. He quotes here Rav Moshe. Where did Rav Moshe get this from? I don't know. Rav Moshe is Mechadish. That even to polish your leichter, I'm assuming you don't do it every week.
Kavod Shabbos?
No, even Kavod Shabbos. You don't do it.
Do your shoes.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. But maybe polish for these on Shabbos. I'm sorry. For Shabbos, yes. I'm sorry. Shabbos, yes. For Kavod Shabbos, yes. I'm sorry. But not just stamp to go people in their bookcase, they have a break from, they like once in a while to polish all the silver. It's not the time to do it. Okay. Alright, interesting Shiloh. What happens if you have a garment that got soaking wet? that's soaking wet. You went out, it was pouring rain, and you have come in, your shirt is soaking wet. Can I take the shirt and put it in the dryer and turn on the dryer? So on one hand, you know, by putting in the dryer, there's a little bit of an enhancement. It's not just, you know, a little put out to dry. Yes. The issue is putting in the washing machine. That's the main issue. The prohibition of cleaning, in modern terms, in the 21st century, is the washing machine is the problem, not the dryer. If the wash, nafkamina would be, if you did a wash, very interesting shiloh, erev Tisha B'Av, erev the 9 days, and you did not get a chance yet to dry it, can you put the load and the washing machine into the dryer? Yes. That's a chinshi shuno, because I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you all know, all people, if you don't dry the stuff in the washing machine, it smells. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's moldy. So you really are to a degree doing something. You are doing an enhancement to the clothing by putting it from the washing into the dryer. Yet that in halacha is not in Shulchan Aruch. They had washing machines in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have washing machine like today, electronic and high tech whirlpool washing machines. But they had a technique of washing. A dryer is a new invention. So therefore, being that it does not say anything about drying machines in Shulchan Aruch, that's a very important principle. You're not allowed to go and make new chumras. If these things did not exist at the time of Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to be so quick to be machmir and say, oh, it's asr. This is also asr. Drawing machines did not exist in the time of Shulchan Aruch. Even though it's true, when you put your wash into a dryer, it's a sophisticated machine. It doesn't just dry it. It tumbles it, it turns it, it's tumbling. Sometimes there are things that are happening in a drying machine that you're not going to have putting it out on the line to dry. Especially today, they have very sophisticated drying machines. There's an enhancement. Being that it did not exist during the time of Shulchan Aruch, and the enhancement is very minor, there's no need to be machmir not to put something in a drying machine during the 9 days. Yeah.
They have closets. Can you do that on
Shabbos? As long as I don't touch it, you just naturally picking up the fragrance. It's mutter. You have to smear it on the garment. That's much more chomer. Okay. Can you clean up the clothing? Can you clean up the clothing from the cleaners? Yes, as long as it was already due before the 9 days. If the ticket says it will be ready before the 9 days begin, and you're just lazy, you didn't get around to it, yes, you're allowed to go into the cleaners, the dryers, and pick it up. Oh, Marisayan, let's talk about that. No one's going to suspect. People know everyone does this. You can use.
You're allowed to put it on.
No, of course not. Of course you can't put it on. Question is, can you pick it up? Okay. Now, you know, children have a whole different set of rules, because children, you know, they run out of clothing very quickly. Children, they get their clothing dirty very quickly. So children, the rules are a bit more relaxed. Obviously, the different ages, how much clothing you have, the supply you have available for them. Okay, that will, all of those things are very logical. Every situation is different. And there's also the issue of how we mentioned before, feeding a child meat. So we mentioned before that there's a problem, there's an opinion that says it's not just a child, it's the adult. It's not proper that the adult should feed the child meat, because we want the adult to feel agmas nefesh. When an adult is prevented from feeding his child meat, the adult feels agmas nefesh. It appears that this principle does not apply to cleaning the clothing of a child. So in other words, the rules of cleaning the clothing of a child are more lenient than giving a child meat during the 9 days. Now again, you can't generalize, because there's so many different situations, but there's a general principle. You don't feed children meat during the 9 days, unless they need. They need the meat, then you can feed the meat. let's say it's borderline, they do, they don't need, you should also take into consideration that it's a problem for you, forget about the child, for you to be feeding them the meat. Agmas nefesh. When it comes to clothing, if it's a borderline question, this is not part of the equation. There's no such thing as agmas nefesh with regard to cleaning the children, or cleaning clothing that belong to children. There's no agmas nefesh, only when meat and yayin, not when it comes to cleaning clothing. Okay, now it's too late for us now, but it's not really not too late. How do you prepare clothing? This is very funny. I remember when I used to go to camp, so everyone has to appear before the 9 days, there's an activity. Instead of having a baseball game for 45 minutes, there's an activity to prepare your clothing for the 9 day. Okay, so in 45 minutes, you have to prepare the clothing for 9 days. So how much time do you have to spend wearing each article, each garment? So there's machlekes apoyskim. Some say 3 hours. Long time. Some say a half an hour. You don't have to, you can put all of them on one shot. Put on 5 shirts in one shot. 5 pairs of pants. We discuss under and undershirts, machlekes apoyskim. The minig is not. The minig is no one does this. You can wear freshly laundered undergarments. That's the common minig. People not so machmir on this. I can't imagine they go out of their mind doing this. Okay, now what about, let's say you can't do that. What's the next best thing to do?
Check them out.
So they used to do this in camp, and then I heard that it was usher to do. But he says, hey, you can do it. You throw it on the floor. You throw it on the floor. You take your shirt, you take your pair of pants, and you throw it on the floor. And you let it roll around. Make sure you first clean the floor. Make sure you clean the floor before you do this. Don't throw it on a dirty floor, right? So you clean it, you mop the floor. It's nice and clean. So he says, b'di'avad, that's also good. That's also okay.
I think if someone gets like a stain on their shirt, they're eating french fries and mustard or ketchup gets on, you're allowed to wash it off, right?
You're allowed? No, you're not. If you have another shirt, if it's going to become a permanent stain, if it's going to settle in and become permanent, yes, we discussed this before,
right?
Before you came, you're allowed to. But if it's not going to become a permanent stain, it's not, it's no big deal. I guess experience. I guess mice and b'chol yom. This happens all the time. You know what becomes what's not become permanent. So therefore, if there's a soft car, you can be makel. So then you should. Okay. Next, so you can throw them. Or another idea. This is an interesting idea. You put your clothing in the laundry hamper with your other dirty clothing. So if you take a freshly laundered shirt and you put it in the hamper with the dirty shirts for 5 minutes. It will be shoyev, it will draw from the odor and all of the dirt from your other shirt, and that's already called not freshly laundered, that's also mutter. Okay, now, as we said before, for a house guest, anyone that comes to the house, okay, of course, a hospital and a hotel, these things you're allowed to provide and actually clean during the 9 days. Depending on the situation, linen for garment. Okay, linen. Now, what about a mikvah? Towels for a mikvah. Okay. Yes, they may be washed. See, today, all of the mikvahs. It was interesting. They used to be in the olden days, not that long ago. Many mikvahs or many shuls, they had their own washing machine and dryers. That's what it was. They had their own washing machine. Landau burned. No, I know Landau was burned down. The fire was because the dryer in the mikvah. Okay, a lot of shuls who had small mikvahs, they had their own washer and dryers, and the gabbai, the shamus, did it. It saved a ton of money. No more today. I don't think there's even one shul anymore that does it themselves. No such thing anymore. It's a service. Please, can I guess you can try to. Okay, it's being hard to concentrate. So today the minig is a service. Today there's a service provider. They charge a lot of money. They make a killing. It makes a really good business. Go into the business of cleaning towels from mikvos. And you have a lot of mikvos in this neighborhood. And people today, it's a new trend. People are makbet go to mikvah on Friday. So there are a lot of towels that are used up. And can you send out the towels to the service during the 9 days in preparation for Shabbos Chazoin? Yes. Yes. Mikvah is a mitzvah. It's the tzarchei mitzvah. It is permitted. It's an exception to the rule. Yeah.
I just saw this today. That the rationale for some Hasidim for going to the neck is that you're allowed to go to a doctor, and there's no better refuah for the nefesh than the mikvah. So when you're going to the mikveh, you're going for refuah.
Okay. All right. I hear.
Some of the chassidus and mikvehs, they require you to take a shower before
and after.
Well, I know that Erev Shabbos Kavayim, the hot water is shut off.
What? On the what shut off?
On the shower.
The shower. That's not good. Because then they're not going to take a shower. And they're going to contaminate the mikvah.
Or they lower the heat.
A little bit. They lower the mashu.
Yeah,
a lot of
mashu. Okay. That all falls under the next category of bathing. Okay, so we're really out of time. We're literally going to run through very, very quickly. I will say very, very quickly, and then I want to talk a little Jewish about Tisha B'Av. Very, very quickly, bathing. Me'ikar Hadin, Rabbi Sai, Me'ikar Hadin, please, Rabbi Sai, please. Me'ikar Hadin, you're not allowed to bathe, period, during the 9 days. Okay, Rabbi Sai, can I please ask everyone, already, I'm asking already, right, at least 10 times, please, let's try to maintain a proper degree of decorum. You can ask a question, but please, within reason. During the 9 days, you're not allowed to bathe, Me'ikar Hadin, period, zero. And if you need to bathe, you can maybe wash your face with cold water, or your arm, or your leg with cold water. What?
Panav
yada viragla. But you're not allowed to bathe your entire body, even a cold shower, even and an aver, one aver with hot water, warm water, awesome. Now, you can go through all the makaros. The bottom line is, we all know what he writes over here is that today we have. Some authorities rule that since nowadays in our society we are accustomed to bathe more frequently, one who is accustomed to bathe with hot water every Erev Shabbos, I'm going to add every day, okay, I'm going to add that myself, may do so during the 9 days. However, even one who follows this view should bathe as quickly as possible. And that's, as far as I know, that's really what the Minhag HaOlam is to a very large degree. There are machmirim, is that people who take a shower every single day, take a shower, believe it or not, you may be surprised, during the 9 days. The only difference is they're conscious to the temperature should be not as comfortable as it is during the year. Just make the water a little bit colder. Don't sit there for a long period of time. In and out, very, very quickly. And if you use shampoo, if you use some type of soap, maybe use less or use a cheaper or more cheaper type of, not a luxury soap, but don't use soap at all. Whatever. Every person is different. Every person has their standards and has something they're accustomed to. The idea is, it's not just for you, Rabbi Yisai, it's for everyone else. How dare you come to shul and be an annoyance to your neighbor? You have no right. You have no right not to take a shower. If you're sitting in a shul and you give off near the nosan recho, you have no right to cause discomfort to your fellow neighbor in the Beis HaKnesses or in your place of employment. So you have an obligation to take a shower, not for you, for someone else. And anyway, today, I don't think the average person has such pleasure in taking a shower. Some, it's a pleasurable thing, of course. But it's not like it used to be. In time of Chazal, they took a shower once in a while and it was a big ordeal. So therefore, that's the way we do it today. So all the pages over here, he has a long section. They're very, I don't know, as far as I look at this, I don't think I'd be curious, but to me, it doesn't seem like these are very practical halachas, bizman, hazed, standards. And he acknowledges this at the end. He acknowledges this, is that it's that we live in a different world today. Yeah.
No one asked me about taking a shower in 9 days. In the 9 days, okay. Everyone pops up. But
Rachmana told a person in Avelus, the same halach, you're not allowed to bathe. But you should know that my father was a Rav, and the Balabatim would ask my father, Shalda, about bathing during the 9 days. And it was very makel. It was very makel. Not from him. He had makoros for this. Even in Shiva. During Shiva. So the rules are very... he's saying from Shlomo Zalman Arbach. I hear what you're saying. But in America, it doesn't seem like those are the standards. It seems like in America, even during Avelus, it appears... I can't talk for everyone, but it appears... You know, especially when you're in Rachmanot Zalman today, when someone is in Ovel, Rachmanot Zalman, He has a lot of visitors. So what, you're not going to take a shower for 7 days when they're going to come to you and say, there's going to be an odor? It's not nice. You can't do that to the people who come to you. Of course. We're not discussing health. That's a given. There's health reasons. It's awesome. Okay, swimming, a davar pashut, he's not allowed to swim. Even if it's exercise, he's machmir. Let's say therapy. Many people today, they go swimming for therapy. They go therapy. So therefore, okay, if it's really, really necessary, it really improves a person's health, absolutely. But just exercise, you know, it's good exercise to go swimming. So technically you can do it. But it's something which is not, people don't do it. People just don't go swimming for exercise during the 9 days, even though they're doing it for health reasons, unless, of course, you have an exception. All right, there's a lot more here, but I want to talk to you. We'll start here. What?
You go into an ocean or a swim pool. It's very dangerous during the 9 days.
Sakana.
Sakana.
Sakana. So you should not do things which are sakana during the 9 days.